If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, I'm reading from the prophet Micah and the 7th chapter. Micah chapter 7. Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Amen. I want to look at this passage very, very briefly this evening. Now, we in the church ought to be the ever joyful people of God. We have so much to be happy about. Our past has been forgiven. Our present is assured. Our future in Christ is going to be great. And yet there are also a number of things going on which would pull us down. And I think Micah felt in the days in which he lived in the same way. Now, Micah, of course, is a prophet of the one true God. He lives among the people of God, in the land which God apportioned them. He had much to be joyful about. Yet of that joy, we read little in this chapter. Of course, I really want to focus on verse 7. But verse 7 begins with a therefore. And therefore, we ought to look at what goes beforehand. And there is really, in those first half a dozen verses, a catalogue of reasons as to why the prophet is feeling glum. It begins with a woe. Woe is me. For I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. Here he is, in time for the harvest, going out to collect the grapes, but there are none available. There are none ready. They've either not developed, or they've been gobbled up, or disease has turned them an unpleasant colour. He looks for good fruit, but cannot find it. Woe is me. He goes on. The faithful man has perished from the earth. And there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. If, like me, you have an interest in our great Christian history, there is, I'm afraid, the temptation to look back and mourn the loss of previous generations and compare them to our own generation. I think of Wesley, I think of Whitfield, I think of Luther. And I think, where are their equivalents today? Where are the great men and women of God? Where are those Christians who would give up their comfortable lives and travel the world to bring the gospel to people who have never heard it? Where are they? Where are the great pastors and the great preachers, the great doctrinal expositors? Where are they? There seems to be plenty of them in the past. I don't think there are too many of them around today. And like Micah, we might say, the faithful man has perished from the earth. There is no one upright among them. He goes on, they all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Evidently, in the days of Micah, goodness and kindness and righteousness were in short supply. It's already been alluded to in our prayer time. But certain laws in this country are being changed, in which it might be said they all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Well, if it was true of Micah's day, it's surely true of our own. This catalogue of evil goes on. That they may successfully do evil with both hands, the prince asks for a gift. The judge seeks a bribe. The great man utters his evil desire and they scheme together. And here Micah has a vision of the evildoers in society, who of course ought to tremble in the presence of the judge and the prince, but in fact they formed an unholy alliance. They're working together as a team. The lawmaker and the law enforcer and the wicked one are in cahoots. They scheme together. This is not a good time in which Micah is living. In verse 4 he says, the best of them is like a briar. That's something you wouldn't want to touch, something that would sting or harm or hurt. That's the best of them. What's the worst of them like? The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. I remember once touching a thorn bush and I didn't realise it was a thorn bush. It makes me think twice before I reach out and start grabbing trees and bushes now. It was incredibly painful. I had to go to hospital. But Micah says the most upright, the best of the people in his country in his day are like a thorn hedge. You touch them and you come away wounded and sore. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes, now shall be their perplexity. Well, if even the best is sharp and prickly and cannot be relied upon, surely, says Micah, the day of justice must be coming. And then in verse 5, he gets rather more personal. He says, do not trust in a friend. Now that, of course, is advice we would not normally issue, but Micah's point is that even those whom we might reckon to be our friends and our soulmates will let us down. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. So evil has that society become that even one's wife is liable to record the words of the prophet and pass them on to the corrupt authorities that they might hound him because of it. He says, a son dishonors father, daughter rises against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Micah is not describing here your run-of-the-mill family squabble. There is a time in his Israel in which even family links will be strained because of evil. Interestingly, Jesus himself quotes the passage in Matthew chapter 10 as though it is a particular time in the future of evil when even families will break down. There'll be no loyalty or sense of love even between those who share kinship. Jesus went on to say, "He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." We must understand that the Christian life is not just about smiles and joy, though it is about them. Too often, I'm afraid, the righteous man and the godly woman suffer for their faith. And there are many people around the world, we prayed for those in Pakistan tonight, who know that only too well. We Western Christians for too long have grown fat and comfortable, and we don't realize, I think, that for most Christians around the globe, taking up a cross is a normal way of Christian living. We then come to the therefore. Therefore, despite all of that, says Micah, despite everything I've said, despite the society in which I live, therefore I will look to the Lord. In other words, he's not going to look to the prince or the judge. He's not going to look to his wife, his son, his son-in-law or his daughter-in-law. He's going to look to the Lord. I read previously from Psalm 146 that said, "Do not trust in princes, in mortal men." It's important that we believers focus our relationship upon the Lord himself. It's good to have a pastor. It's good to have Christian friends. It's good to have a church. It's good to have famous preachers or authors whose work we enjoy and relish. But I say now, look to the Lord. Don't look to your church. Don't look to your pastor. They let us down. Therefore, I will look to the Lord, where we ought to begin. May we stop finding comfort in old Adam and rather look to Christ. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. So Micah is looking to the Lord because he knows that anywhere else he looks is bound to disappoint. He says, "I will wait for the God of my salvation." Though he be quiet and seemingly inactive, wait for the Lord. Peter tells us a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day unto the Lord. And sometimes the Lord does not speedily answer our prayer or come to deliver. We are bound to his timing. He is not bound to ours. And so what Micah says to us, we shall do, wait for the God of your salvation. Wait for the God who saves, the God who rescues, the God who delivers. The wonderful thing about salvation is that it is both a past, a present, and a future phenomenon. I was saved in the past. I can tell you the day and the year. I am saved now. I am being saved now. Christ saved me at Calvary, and yet the Holy Spirit continues that work in my heart, sanctifying me, making me more like Christ, chiseling away, hacking away at the pride and the old man. And yet salvation is also a future event. Look to your salvation. And by that I mean either when Jesus comes again or he calls us home. I don't know when that day will be. He might come in our lifetimes. And if he doesn't, he will come for you and me on the day of his own choosing. Neither too soon nor too late. So I will wait for the God of my salvation. The Lord Jesus said in the 24th of Matthew in verse 12, "The increase of wickedness Because of it, the love of many will grow cold. And wickedness had grown very much in Micah's day. And I believe it has grown very much in our day. And if you put your hope in princes, you'll be disappointed. And if you put your hope in churches, you'll be hurt. Therefore, rather and instead, look to the Lord. Wait for the God of your salvation. And how does he end and close verse 7? My God will hear me. What a wonderful conclusive comment. The judge won't hear him, for the judge is corrupt. The prince won't hear him, the prince is corrupt. But Micah's God will hear him. I know a number of people, a number of Christian people are grown weary because of what goes on in the world and what has gone on in the country. The message of Micah to his generation and to ours is the same. Therefore, look to the Lord. Wait for the God of your salvation. Your God will hear you. Amen.